All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Dr. Ray Heinisch, and I'm joined here with, of course, the beautiful, wonderful Blythe Ahlberg. Hey, Blythe, how are you?
Ooh, double compliments today. I like that. Beautiful and wonderful. Thank you. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Wonderful.
I'm ready to get podcast number 37 out there for these anxious people that can't wait for our next podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, today's podcast is how to virtually guarantee that you will not quit your workout program. Does that sound like an exciting podcast for you?
It sounds like it's going to be packed with information.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the problem. A lot of people kind of go through this cycle, right? They're sitting on the couch watching Dr. Oz or Oprah, and the latest health guru comes on, gives them all kinds of wonderful information. They get fired up, and they say, this time I'm going to do it. This time I'm going to go out, and I'm going to exercise. I'm going to stick to my program. I'm going to lose the weight. And then 3 to 6 months later, they're back on the same couch watching the same TV show and they haven't seen the inside of the gym for 3 months.
Right. It's the this time it's for real complex.
Right. And so what we want to do is we want to spend today helping you not get started. We're hoping that our listeners by now are out there exercising. What we want to do is provide them with a virtual bulletproof vest against exercise demotivation, right?
Love it.
So that's the problem. If we want to put numbers to the problem, here is what the statistics say. They say that 50% of people who start an exercise program drop out within 6 months. That's ridiculous.
50%? Wow. Yep. I knew it was high, but I didn't think it was half.
Yeah, well, it is. And it's all about motivation, right? So what I wanted to do was start by giving what I've kind of formulated as the most simple and basic definition of motivation that I could come up with.
Okay, let's hear it.
If you look out there at various psychologists and such, and you get a definition of motivation, the definitions they give are oftentimes complex and hard to understand, and you got to spend, you know, 10 years studying just that one definition. But when it comes down to it, motivation is really just about wanting to do something. Right? That you feel motivated to do something, it's because you want to do it for some reason.
Right. The want is there, yes.
Right. And so it doesn't have to be something that's enjoyable. For example, if you get a toothache, you want to go to the dentist. Whereas beforehand you did not want to go to the dentist. But if you get a toothache, now you all of a sudden want to go to the dentist, right? Because you want to get out of pain.
Right. Well, I also think that when people start their workout programs, they continue the motivation for a little while, like you said, 3 to 6 months. But they lose that motivation along the way because we often forget how horrible we felt at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So you're thriving on how great you feel at the beginning, but so quickly we forget.
Right. I think we've talked about that before. It's called the motivation pressure cooker, right? We continue to put on weight up until a certain point where we cross that threshold, that line in the sand that we have set in our own brains. And all of a sudden, we weigh more than we have ever weighed, and we develop so much pain from that that we decide that now's the time to change. And so we change until we get below that virtual line, right? And then we kind of get demotivated. And what is demotivation? Demotivation is not wanting to do something.
Right. It's like a chore.
Right. And so I know that that is even an oversimplistic definition of motivation. But for our purposes, I think it'll do. Do you agree? I mean, is there anything you want to add to that, or is that pretty much inclusive?
I think there are different levels of being motivated. And I think for each individual, there's an importance of finding that happy medium where you can continue the motivation rather than like spiking it up at the very beginning and letting it dwindle out. What is going to continue to keep you motivated? So it's kind of setting a different goal.
Right. I gotcha. And, you know, today's podcast really isn't about motivation, is it? It's about how do we prevent demotivation? Okay. How do we prevent us from going from that moment where we want to do something? How do we prevent it from going to that moment where we no longer want to do it?
Right. There's a lot of value in this podcast today.
Okay. So there's 10 points. We have 10 points as to how to bulletproof yourself against demotivation as it pertains to exercise. So are you ready to get in there?
I'm ready.
All right. But before we do, I kind of have to give you a bit of an analogy to utilize that we'll use throughout this entire podcast. And that is, every single one of us has a jury within our own mind. And that the purpose of that jury is to weigh the advantages and the disadvantages of any choices that we make, or the risks versus the benefits, depending upon the situation.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you keep that in your mind as we go through these points, it almost always comes down to that judgment that we place on whatever action we're taking.
So we're constantly putting ourselves on trial.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
All right. So point number one, all right, the first demotivating reason, and that is we ask the question, are you knowledgeable or are you a fumbling idiot in the gym? You know, look, I know that sounds...
That's tough.
It sounds tough. It does.
It's a little on the harsh side, but...
You know why?
Why?
Because that's the type of terminology that we use in our own minds, right?
Yeah.
We're not saying, oh, well, maybe I don't know what I'm doing. We say, Ray, you're a fumbling idiot. You must look like an idiot in here because you don't know what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. And I don't care how knowledgeable you are in a gym. You know, personal trainers aside, because they probably live in the gym, but anybody who's new and getting back into a weight loss program is going to be at the same level.
They're going to feel like they don't know what they're doing. And especially if you have never set foot in a gym, if you feel, okay, so here's the bottom line with this point. If you feel like you are incompetent, if you feel like you don't know what you're doing, there's no way you're going to stick with this exercise program.
Right. So the alternative to that is what? Become knowledgeable.
Right. That's
educate yourself.
That's the vaccine.
Okay.
So, and you know what? Every hero was once a zero. Have you ever heard that phrase?
Yeah, I've heard that. Actually rings true here.
It does. So just because you don't know how to do something, I see this a lot. I see like people feel like there's no way that they can get competent, right? They feel like, well, how am I going to learn? How you learn is you go and you Google it. You get a book on it. There are 100 books on how to exercise.
Yeah.
You get a personal trainer to show you how to use the equipment, right?
That's exactly what they're there for. And the only person who probably believes that you're an idiot is you. I don't think anybody else in that gym really cares, other than maybe the moment you walk in the door, you look a little intimidated and people will notice you. You know, if you're 200 pounds overweight, people will probably, yes, they're going to notice you walking through the door. However, the flip side to that, and being a trainer and someone who's always in the gym, I commend you for coming into the gym.
Right. So if you don't feel like you know what you're doing, just learn it, guys. You know, how Blythe, let me ask you this. If somebody signs up for a personal trainer, what's the right way to use that personal trainer?
In my opinion, the right way is to gain knowledge from the trainer so you can learn how to do it on your own. But I find that trainers are often used as a motivating factor to get you into the gym. You've paid money, you've booked an appointment. Now it's the accountability of having a trainer. So they kind of all play a role.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that, right? That's a very, very effective way to stick to a program. You pay
for a bunch of sessions. That's
why we exist. Yeah. But you have to use them also to learn how to do the exercises on your own.
That's exactly right.
For a number of reasons. I mean, number one, you're not going to necessarily be able to afford a personal trainer for the rest of your life. If you are,
great. What happens if your trainer moves away?
You know,
what happens if something goes on and you don't have a trainer? I think the number one reason for having a personal trainer is the educational aspect of it.
Right. So get competent. That's the key lesson here, right, for this first point. All right, good. So let's go on to point number two, which is another question, and that is, are you being judged?
Okay, funny, because I just mentioned everybody else in the gym looking at you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the biggest things why I really enjoy being a gym owner is I've got the opportunity that every brand new person that walks through that door, I get to welcome them. that's important to me. I see how important that is because I know everybody feels judged as they walk into a gym, especially those who don't feel totally confident.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. That jury that we were talking about earlier is perfectly okay being quite harsh to you. It judges you. That jury in your own mind judges you constantly. But it is not okay with other people judging you. Right?
Right.
So
okay.
People quit a workout program if they feel they are being judged by others. You know, a lot of people, and these are not my words. These are the words of a lot of the people that I have worked with. They feel like, quote unquote, a beached whale when they're walking into a gym.
Oh, that sounds so harsh.
I know, right?
I don't think that they would call anybody else a beached whale, but no. That's probably the way they would speak to themselves. Right. I get that.
They wouldn't let somebody else call them a beached whale, but in their own mind, they'll use that word, that terminology.
Right. Okay.
And so if you feel judged, the vaccine to that is realizing, as you mentioned earlier, the people aren't even – it's not that they're thinking badly about you. It's not that they're thinking good thoughts about you. It's that they're not thinking about you at all.
That's probably the truth.
You know, they're thinking about themselves, right?
Right. Everybody's concerned about themselves, first and foremost, for sure.
You got people who you would look at and say, wow, they are in great shape, running on the treadmill. You know what they're thinking about? They're thinking, I wonder if my butt's jiggling running on here.
Are you in my head, Ray? Yes. I mean, even me, and I don't mean to say even me like I'm, you know,
you're in
somebody
good shape.
Who can't feel that way.
You're in good shape. You're a fitness professional, and you are in good shape. And yet you still have these feelings.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I'm like, I wonder if these pants are too tight. I wonder if my shorts are too short. You know, all that kind of stuff. So, yes, we all think that way.
So that is the vaccine, is realizing not that people are thinking good or bad thoughts about you. You mentioned that if you're 200 pounds overweight, people are going to notice you when you walk in the door. But I assure you, 3 minutes later, they're going to go back to worrying about themselves, and they're not going to give you a second thought. Sometimes it's good to feel invisible. In a gym setting, it's good to feel invisible because you can focus on you. You don't have to focus on what other people are thinking.
Right. And I think, you know, if you are that person that's 200 pounds overweight or 50 pounds overweight or whatever the number is, you're the one there and you're the one being responsible for making the change. So be proud of yourself for that. You know, you could look at it two ways. Oh, I'm too heavy. I don't belong in the gym. Or I'm heavy. I'm doing something about it. Somebody open the door for the gym for me.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Let me in. Right.
And, you know, guess what? I realize that this may all sound academic to a lot of people that are listening. But I can tell you this, and that is, if you get to the point where you've tried all this stuff, where you've tried to say to yourself, well, you know, people aren't thinking about me and it doesn't work, and you still feel like you're being judged and self-conscious, then here's what you do. You quit the gym. You walk out of the gym, you quit your membership, you go out to your car, and just as you're about to get in the car, you turn with a little squint in your eye, you'll say, I'll be back.
I will
be back. Just not right now. But when I feel confident, I will be back. You don't need a gym, do you, to exercise?
Oh, heck no. No.
You can do gyms, it at home.
Yeah, I think gyms exist for the simple fact of the social aspect and that it's an easy place to get information on how to exercise.
Right. And you got handy equipment there and such, but the point is you don't need it. You can get out and you can achieve a good level of fitness at home with some simple equipment or even just hitting the park, calisthenics. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, if you feel judged, the first thing you've got to do is get into an environment where you don't feel judged, right?
There you go.
All right. So that's number two. It's very close to the third point, which is, what is your worth? What do you feel your worth is? We feel judged only because we have a poor self-image.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I know that I've worked with a lot of people who, you know, people who have a very low self-image, they get demotivated very, very easily.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much higher rate than those who have more self-worth. I totally agree.
And what we've got to realize, and here is the vaccine for this disease, and that is, we all come into this earth with a blank price tag, right? Mm-hmm. And you get to determine what is written on that price tag.
Okay, I like it.
All too often, what ends up happening, though, is we don't determine our own price. We let other people appraise us. We let our family, our friends, our colleagues, the people that we're exposed to in school, decide on what our price is.
Okay.
And because we think they know what they're talking about, we accept what they tell us our appraised value is, and then we write that price on our own price tag.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if there's a vaccine to that, but I think first we have to forget what other people think. There's a lot of freedom in really not caring what other people think. And to feel confident enough to write on your own price tag and write your value, you're going to have to do some self-searching.
That's the work we all got to do, right?
Yeah, that constantly. It doesn't end. It doesn't end here.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember watching a talk by Paula Abdul. And one of the things that she said was, you know, she said, a lot of people think that stars are totally confident. Mm. And she says, you know, she has been exposed to and knows a lot of the stars that we all know. And she says, and she basically was saying this. She said, you know, I know all these people that you see. I know them personally. And she says, every single one of them feels like a fraud on some level. They feel unworthy of what they've gotten. So it doesn't matter who you are, guys. We're all in the same boat. We are all, every one of us. Right?
Okay, so are you saying fake it till you're good? Because I could go with that.
You fake it till you make it that. Well,
yeah.
You know, that's probably one approach that works for some people.
Okay.
Others have to, I don't know. You've got to take a step. You have to step in front of the mirror. You have to plant your own 2 feet. You have to take up as much space as you possibly can because you deserve it. You know, one thing that I do in my morning ritual is I stand in front of the mirror. I know this is ridiculous. The only people I've ever told this was some of the people in the weight loss group because I picture it and I know I look ridiculous. But
I'm all ears, just so you know.
I stand in front of the mirror in the morning and it takes 10 seconds and I stand with my feet as wide as I can go and my hands, I put them up so I look like a big X, like my arms are out, and I take up as much space as I possibly can. And that's kind of it's kind of an affirmation to the world that I deserve to take up the space that I want. Because what I've discovered is the more we contract on the inside, the more we expand on the outside. So if we can make an affirmation in the mornings that I deserve to take up space, that I am deserving of that, then we can get to the point where we're not expanding on the outside. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah. I like it.
All right, good. So that's number three.
So write your own price tag.
Write your own price tag, guys.
I like that. Okay.
Yep. Number four, being overweight stacks the cards against you. Just the fact that you're overweight stacks the cards against you as far as whether or not you're going to stick to your program. So there's a couple of reasons why that probably is. Number one, a lot of the things we've already talked about. Number two, the fact that we have a tendency to live by our own self-fulfilling prophecies. And the environment tells us that people who are overweight don't exercise. And so even though we're consciously trying to change that, subconsciously we believe, well, I'm not an exerciser. I'm not a fit person. And you know what? At this time, you may not be a fit person.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not trying to be an overweight person, are you? You're trying to be a fit person.
Right.
So model the fit people.
There you go. Yeah. Looking at it from a flip side for me is one of the motivating factors of being somebody who is overweight or obese is you get to see results quicker. Because you have a longer road, you're going to experience some of the results quicker than somebody who wants to lose, say, 40 pounds.
Right.
So that can also be motivating. I guess what we're talking about today is finding the demotivating things and getting rid of those. But make sure you're always looking on the optimistic side of these things, too. If you've got a long way to go, big results means big gains.
Yeah, so if you've got 100 pounds to lose, you may start by seeing 3, 4, 5 pounds of weight loss for each week for the first few weeks, right? So that can be motivating, sure.
Yeah.
But when we look at the research literature, it is a fact that when we are overweight, we have a much lower likelihood of sticking to the program only because we're overweight, because of the fact that we're overweight. So if we know that, that's half the battle. If we realize that just the fact that we're overweight is likely going to keep us from – is going to make it more difficult for us to stick to the program, then we can immunize ourselves against that. We can say, you know what? I realize that.
Just put up a big old roadblock there.
You got it.
That's
got
not going to stop
you.
Just
say to yourself, that's not going to be me. Now that I know that resistance exists, that's not going to be me.
Okay.
All right. I know you're going to have a field day with this one. Number five is having a poor diet. You know, with health, weight loss, nothing exists in a vacuum, right?
Right.
It's all connected.
It is. And I try to tell people, let me start here. This is where I usually start when I meet with somebody about personal training, is I usually talk to them, sit them down and talk to them about what their current eating program is like or why are you here? Okay. The first question is, why are you here? Quite often it's, I've been diagnosed with diabetes or my doctor says I need to lose 50 pounds or my knee joints are really hurting. Something like that is making it uncomfortable. It's like the whole toothache and going to the dentist thing. They're in pain and they need to do something about it. I usually start, rather than saying, hey, we're going to go hit it hard, we're going to work out today, I usually start with the nutritional aspect of it because only for the sole reason of, number one, I know how important it is. And number two is that the doctor says, you need to start walking every day. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with walking every day. I just don't think that is the most important. I know the physical activity is what is going to motivate you to eat better, but I truly believe that the eating better is what is going to motivate you to feeling like exercising. So whichever way you take it, whichever way you decide to go, I'm not saying one is right and the other is wrong, but I'm saying if you think the only reason that you have to do this is because you haven't been walking on a treadmill for 30 minutes a day, you're wrong. You've got to get both involved. And if it's somebody who says, my doctor told me I need to start walking 30 minutes a day, what is your eating like? And if all they eat are Twinkies 15 hours a day, we've got some major changes to do. Walking is not going to fix that.
What I've discovered is one of the most important things people need to focus on is what they eat first thing in the morning. What is their breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not for the cliche reason of, the breakfast is the most important meal of the day. You know, there's absolute truth to that. But the reason is because it sets precedence for the day. So if you eat a bad breakfast, your mind starts saying, you know what? Today's a wash. So we might as well not exercise and we might as well not eat well for lunch and for dinner and so forth. And one of the first things we do in our weight loss group is get people to treat breakfast as a ritual time, as perhaps the most important time in their entire day, because it sets precedence. I can tell you, people who have bad diets have bad exercise habits as well, because they're connected.
Yeah, they do go hand in hand.
Yeah, it's in the brain, not just in the stomach and in the biochemistry. It's in the brain.
So is it sort of like the fat rat syndrome? You become demotivated because you're sitting on the couch. You feel horrible about yourself. You're calling yourself a beached whale. And while you're doing it, you're shoving chips into your face.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that can't be fixed, because it can. And I think that's where a lot of people start from. Get moving or start eating right or do a combination of both.
Right. And I'll leave this point with this fact is when I say if you have a really, really bad diet, you don't have to totally overhaul your diet right from the start. You can just start with breakfast and that's enough. You know, what ends up happening is it begins to reverberate across the rest of your life, but it doesn't have to. You can just start with breakfast and improve your breakfast. And then from there, you'll start to notice other things begin to shift in your life. It may not be that same day. It may be, 5, 6, 7 days later that you start to notice, I'm craving different things at lunch now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
It's always about baby steps. You don't have to make a life-altering change to see change.
Right. Absolutely. And as it speaks to exercise demotivation, bad diet, that's instantly demotivating as it pertains to exercise.
Right.
All right. So onward. Number six, not understanding the true benefit of exercise.
Okay. So exercise as far as health goes, I think that should be the primary focus for most people, not exercise to get, and I hate this word, I'm doing the little quote signs with my fingers, skinny. I hate that word because skinny does not mean healthy and or fit or a combination of the both. But exercising to become skinny should not be the motivating factor. And if it is for you, I think that we've got to find something that will work in conjunction with that.
Right. So your body is either in a state of metabolic activity, or it is in a state of metabolic inactivity. It's either burning energy or it's storing energy. There's no, there's no other option. You're either burning or storing energy. Okay. Exercise turns you into a machine that burns energy efficiently.
Yes.
So if your goal is weight loss, then you need to exercise, and not just for the weight loss benefits of that exercise, mm-hmm. but because it immunizes you against regaining that weight later down the line.
That's exactly what I was aiming for.
Yep. In addition, you get all the other benefits. You feel stronger. You mm-hmm. feel more flexible. You feel more energetic.
And you're going to want to eat healthier foods because your body is now craving the nutrients that it gets from the healthy foods.
It's all connected. Mm-hmm. It is all connected. So you've got to understand all of the true benefits of exercise. It's not just about, quote unquote, getting skinny. It's about all the other benefits that you get from that. Mm-hmm. Once you understand that, it's a lot. Here's the problem when we just look at weight and we're talking about exercise. Mm-hmm. If your weight doesn't change, then, and that's the only reason you exercise, mm-hmm. you're going to quit.
I find that is the reason. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say 30% of that 50% who stop is because they don't see the scale budge within, 3-4 weeks.
I would probably say that that's accurate. Mm-hmm. So let's go on to the next point, which is okay. Number seven, and that is feeling alone.
Okay. Well, this is a good one. I think a lot of people out there, I think a lot of people out there enjoy the social aspect of a gym. But I also think there are a handful of people out there who don't want to be in that gym setting and they want to go at it alone. Going at it alone or exercising alone does not mean you can't have friends, family, an online partner, somebody to support your endeavors, somebody who's going to keep pushing the bar. I don't want to say you have to be a competitive person, but somebody that you've got maybe a little wager going or a little competition or something, to kind of keep pushing you.
Right. And I think that that's a crucial point. Anybody who's, when you're talking about exercise, where the benefits come later down the line, like you exercise today, you don't feel better immediately typically. In fact, you feel like you have less energy directly after exercise, uh-huh. right?
Yep.
Because the benefits are delayed. And because of that, you need to have that social support there. It's so helpful when somebody else expects you to exercise. Someone right. else expects you to be fit and energetic. When you have that person, it may be one person, one kind of exercise soulmate, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yeah.
is there and calls you out when you're not living up to your word
right.
as it pertains to exercise.
Right. Well,
it's hugely beneficial.
I find that actually, and this is just an observation, I find that a lot of women have a child, maybe 12, 13, 14 years old, who is their exercise soulmate for a while anyway. Women will bring their kids in here. But what I find is that if the parent's overweight, the child is also overweight. So a lot of times, you sit down and look at your family tonight. Do they look fit and healthy, or do they look, like you if you're not fit and healthy? Finding changes that you can make that will include your family are great, but you may have to find someone outside your family to keep you from becoming demotivated.
Right. And sometimes your social network, your family and friends, will actually work on a subconscious level to demotivate you. Because if you have a bunch of friends and you have it, and they are overweight and they're not in a position where they feel like they want to change right now, then when you start to lose weight, it's going to pull you away from them, because that is one thing that people kind of connect to.
Yeah.
And when that happens, they're going to want to either pull you back or you're going to begin to feel lonely. And loneliness is a motivator to discover familiarity or to rediscover familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go back to doing the old things that you did so that your family and friends will let you back on the island, right, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. However, we're not going to let that demotivate us, right?
Nope.
Okay.
Be sure to build your social network around where you want to go in life.
Yes.
So if you want to develop fitness, find fit friends or find people who value fitness in their lives.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
On to the next one. Difficult access to fitness equipment and or facilities.
Okay.
So the research is pretty clear about this, that if although having a gym nearby or having fitness equipment handy does not guarantee that you will be successful with your weight loss with your fitness program, it certainly does make it does act as a roadblock if you find access to fitness equipment difficult.
Okay.
So if your gym is across town, the likelihood of you using it is far less than if your gym is within walking distance of your home, right?
Yeah.
So that's just a key point. So if you have a gym that's somewhat inconvenient, it is worthwhile to cancel that membership and find a gym that is more convenient to your life. It can be closer to work. It can be closer to home. It can be closer to your kid's daycare or school. Mm-hmm. Just make it convenient, because research shows that when fitness equipment and or your gym is convenient, your likelihood of sticking to the program is much, much higher.
Yeah, and we won't let that be a demotivating factor. Yeah. Easy. You know, I do want to say that there are a lot of other avenues out there. If, say, maybe your house is out in the country and there isn't a gym, and maybe you're a stay-home mom, okay? I think that stay-home moms quite often come across, you know, either there's no childcare at the gym that's nearest to their home or whatever. There are tons of videos, DVDs. I love all the Jillian Michaels stuff. There's all sorts of avenues out there that you could take to get fit. You know, you could go find bleachers at the nearest high school and walk up the bleachers or run up the bleachers, or, you know, find a track that's nearby, involve yourself in a sport, maybe take your kids out after school and go kick around a soccer ball. It doesn't have to be like, when did playing outside and having fun turn into the word exercise? We used to go out and play. Now we call it exercise.
Right.
When did we, was it when you graduate from high school? You're not allowed to play outside anymore?
I think it was probably around the 50s and 60s when people got so, you know, when all of a sudden cars became much more accessible, and now we no longer walk to school, walk to work, ride bikes to work and school, and then everything became very sedentary. So now all of a sudden this new thing called exercise became a necessity. Why? Because, well, we're just not active during the whole day. We don't play anymore. We don't play actively, at least.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you don't need a gym, as we mentioned in an earlier point. But if you do use a gym, make sure that it is accessible. If not, again, make sure you have the equipment. All you need is some dumbbells, you know, a pull-up bar, some push-up bars, P90X, Chaline Extreme, any of those, you know, Beachbody programs. You can get the new Metabolic Effect diet book. They have a workout program in there that all you need.
Oh, and they've got pictures. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've got great pictures of all the different exercises. Very, very helpful. So again, become knowledgeable.
Right.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the next point, which is dissatisfaction with your workout facility.
Mm.
If you go to your gym and there's nothing but muscle heads or Everybody in there looks like a supermodel, and you don't, again, it comes back to that judgment thing.
Uh-huh.
Or it stinks like a dying skunk laying in a bed of dirty socks. It's that you've got to say, okay, this may not be the right place for me.
Right. And well, so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so dissatisfaction with your workout facility becomes a major issue.
Bottom line is you're going to have to find something that works for you. Whether it's a time factor, whether it's a convenience factor, you're going to have to find something that's going to work for you. So don't come up with excuses or reasons why you can't exercise.
And it's hard enough to maintain an exercise program if everything is perfect. So don't put roadblocks in your own way. If you go to the gym and you find yourself thinking, man, this place stinks. I'm going to rush my workout so I can get out of here. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? I know that the gym's probably cheap, but maybe it's worth paying the extra $10 a month and getting going to a better gym.
Sure.
All right. So that brings us to the final point, which is when you overestimate your future results, then you set the stage for workout failure.
Okay.
So if you think you're going to lose 10 pounds in 1 week and then you don't, your brain will say, you know what? It's not from lack of trying. You tried and it didn't work out for you. So let's quit and go get a brownie sundae someplace.
Okay. You know what I like to say whenever I have this conversation with somebody is every day, every minute, actually every second, you get to make the choice of working towards your fitness goal or away from your fitness goal. If you haven't reached the goal, a weight goal, let's say, or an inch loss goal within a short amount of time, you have the option. What's your option? You have the options to quit and go away from your goal, or you have the option to pursue and continue aiming for that goal. Just because it takes you, you know, an extra week, it's not the end of the world. At least you're working towards health and fitness.
Yeah, it's not the final destination. It's not when you get there that's important. It's, of course, what is it? It's the journey, right?
Yeah, it's the journey. It's always a journey.
It's the journey.
And I think it's something, you know, that just popped in my head is we're all kind of in this together. I mean, every day I choose, I'm not going to say 100% of the time because, yes, I do have a brownie sundae or something like that every once in a while. And that's okay. You know, 90% of the time should be healthy, clean eating. And the other 10%, you get to enjoy yourself because what's the journey of life without enjoying yourself? Not that eating healthy and clean and exercising can't be fun too, because I believe it's fun. But if it's something new for you, something new you're incorporating into your life, you may not have as much fun as I do. So where was I going with that whole point?
I think you were going to the point that there is a little bit of imperfection
yes.
in the perfect life.
Thank you. I think all of us are on this journey together, and we all get to choose how we want to work towards it. And if you haven't got to the point in your life, if you're 8 years old and you're 100 pounds overweight, you're probably not sitting there watching TV thinking, how am I going to work toward my fitness goal? You're your parents' responsibility for that moment. But there will come a point in time where each individual wants to work towards that. And so I think that, you know, we ought to kind of look around and see that everybody's kind of in the same boat.
We are.
Yeah.
And you just got to remember, we always say, do a scientific experiment with an ongoing scientific experiment with your own lifestyle.
Yeah.
Put stuff to the test. Realize that perfection is not the goal here. You know, we just need to make progress.
Yes.
Progress, not perfection.
It's progress. That's right.
So if we go through and do a final summary of everything, number one, you've got to become knowledgeable, at least competent enough that you feel confident, right? Become competent to feel confident.
And use all those avenues. Google stuff. You know, just start becoming an expert.
Become an expert. You know, we said that in the beginning of this podcast, right? Back at podcast number one or two, I think. But we haven't said it enough. Your goal is to become an expert in you guys, right?
Yeah. We're not even the experts yet. You know, we're just motivating you guys to become the experts.
It's an ongoing process for everybody. Yes. Number two, if you feel judged where you're at, you don't have to stay there. Feeling judged is a recipe for quitting your workout program. So make sure that you are either able to convince yourself that nobody's really looking at you anyway, which is the truth. But if you can't, get out of there and go to a place where you don't feel judged, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Number three, what's your worth? You get to decide your own worth. Don't let other people, experts in your life, which are your family, friends, don't let them appraise you. You appraise you. You write your own price tag.
I like that one. I'm going to be working on number three.
Okay. Number four, being overweight and obese stacks the cards against you. It's just the fact of the matter. But you don't act like an overweight or an obese person, even if you are physically that way. You act like a fit person. You get out there and you exercise. You model what fit people do so that you will develop that and become that.
Love it.
Number five, okay. If you have a poor diet, what do you got to do, Blythe?
Oh, you got to get rid of those refined carbohydrates and start eating things that come in Mother Nature's packages. Pay attention to what you're eating. There are so many free online bits of information, whether it's research or nutritional logs where you can log in your food so you can actually assess what you're eating. There are people out there that are willing to help you, including Dr. Ray and myself.
Treat yourself like a champion, guys. Champions don't put junky food in their mouths.
That's
and when
exactly
they do,
right.
Guess what? Champions get demotivated too. Good food results in good exercise habits.
That's exactly right.
Number six, not understanding the true benefit of exercise. Exercise is amazing for the body, for the health, for the energy levels, for weight loss across the board. It's not all about what the scale tells you. There are so many benefits to exercise, oxygenating the brain, preventing cancer, keeping your immune system healthy. What else?
And it goes hand in hand with making you feel like you want to eat healthier foods.
Absolutely, it does. So,
you know, start at one end of the spectrum.
It's more than just weight. It's more than just weight.
Yes.
Number seven, don't feel alone, guys. In this Facebook age, we can be alone without feeling lonely.
Yeah,
got
I like
to
that.
Realize that make real connections with people and make real connections with the type of people you want to be, because your social network will either be your best vitamin or your worst poison.
Okay.
Number eight, difficult access to fitness equipment and or facilities. Make it convenient.
Well, yeah, make it convenient. You're going to have to initiate that. Either get like the P90X videos, the Insanity, all the beach body stuff you were talking about. Involve yourself in a sport. Commit yourself. Schedule in time to go outside and play with your kids if you're a stay-home mom. Make it convenient. You don't have to have a gym.
Right. Dissatisfaction, number nine, dissatisfaction with your workout facility.
I just said you don't have to have a gym.
Right, but
I'm
if
just
you
kidding.
Do... And you're not satisfied with it, or if you're at home and you're not satisfied with the equipment that you have at home, fix it. You know? And again, think if you don't have the money to go out and buy lots of good gym equipment, think Rocky. Think like Rocky. What was it, Rocky III, when he was fighting the big Russian?
Yeah. Yes.
And the big Russian had all of those amazing gadgets, and you know, he was doing the steroids and stuff, and Rocky was just out there picking up logs and running hard through the snow and doing pull-ups in the barn. You don't need all that, all the high fancy equipment. You just need a couple of dumbbells and the motivation to keep going.
There you go. And you know what? I'm sorry, just to rewind, I quickly want to talk about number seven, just really quick. If you can't think of anybody, if you can't find anybody, go to our Facebook page. I like to think that we're friends to people who need a little bit of motivation. Absolutely. We can be there to help.
And the Facebook page is Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word, and you'll get right to us. Tell all your friends.
And you'll see our shining faces.
Yes.
All right. I'm sorry. So number nine, we just finished that one.
Yep, you just did that. If your gym smells like, what was it I said? A dying skunk laying in a bed of dirty gym socks. Go ahead and leave. You know, quit and find one that you feel more satisfied with or get.
Right. That's probably not the gym for you.
Right. And then number 10.
You overestimate future results.
Thank you. Yep.
Okay.
Don't overestimate future results.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter how long it takes you to get to the final destination. In fact, there is no final destination.
That's right.
Is there?
No, there's not.
Okay. I mean, it might be a weight, but then it's going to be something else. So don't be so set on, I have to, you know, I have to be a certain weight by a certain date. Not that setting goals is not a good thing to do, but that is that's not the end.
No, just be reasonable with your goals.
Yes.
Yeah, you've got to find that happy balance between something that fires you up and something that is reachable. Because if it fires you up and it's not reachable, then it's going to tear you down. Trust me. I've been there. I've done that. I am guilty of that often. Mm-hmm. Make it reachable, but also make sure that it gets you up in the morning, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And once again, if you want extra motivation, visit us on Facebook. Just search for Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word, and pull us up. Make sure you like us. Get on there. Leave comments. Leave questions. We like to get on there and help people as best we can. We give you tips on a regular basis as well.
There's a ton of people on there sharing smoothie ideas right now. And I love the question that you posted up there the other day, Dr. Ray, about having a smoothie for breakfast. We try to give you guys ideas, recipes, all sorts of information that will help you along your get fit journey.
Awesome. Well, you know, check us out also at cutthefatpodcast.com. Go there, read some of the articles we have posted, and also don't forget to go to iTunes and rate us if you can, and subscribe to our podcast so that it gets automatically downloaded to your iPod when we put a new one up.
Just so you know, we do go on there and read those reviews. I love it.
Love it. I love it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll see you at the next Cut the Fat Podcast. Have a good one.
Bye.
As always, we leave you with the Grilled Lincolns. Check them out at grilledlincolns.com. You can also download their music from iTunes and Rhapsody.
Make you feel your days, but for now I wish you'd just come back when you're okay. Forget your shoes, just wear your flip-flops in the snow. It's hard to really care.